very hard to explain what presence feels like to somebody who hasn't become conscious of it. We feel it all the time, but if nobody has named it for you, if nobody has said, that's it, that's the very thing you're looking for, it passes by completely unexpected. And it does that fairly often. And there's usually just nobody in our life to say, stop, that's it, that's the moment. You know, when you bite into that peach and you just taste it, and suddenly your whole body does something. It's like a flavor that is more than just the mouth. It somehow electrifies the body. Or when somebody on the airplane the other day peeled an orange, and I just became so part of that orange, and it just filled the plane, and I could see everybody on the plane going, this thing was filtering through the system, and it's something very simple. It's not always a sensation, but it is a kind of awakening to sensation. It's the alertness to something going on. And it's so extraordinary and yet completely ordinary that it's so hard to distinguish. I remember when I first met Rudy, and actually for all the years that I knew Rudy, I would walk into his classroom and I always felt like I had passed through the looking glass. I just walked into a room. I just walked from one room into another room, but I was no longer in the same space. I was no longer in the same dimension. I had somehow entered into something transformed. It looked exactly like this, but it was more there. It was just more there than the world outside. I just come out of the subway. I just come off of 10th Street. I'd be walking down the street. It was very alive. But I'd walk into that room and I would go, I'm here. Or I'm home. I have arrived. And I couldn't describe what took place except that there was a kind of stillness in the air, a kind of electricity, a kind of vibrancy. And I would sit down on my pillow and I would just sit in that space and feel this kind of transitional experience from the world of day-to-day New York into this looking glass clarity. And then Rudy would walk in the room and I would feel Rudy walking in the room, and it was a big long room. I could feel him from way in the back and I felt it on my neck. I felt it on my whole back. I felt Rudy approach. And he would come down the aisle and go up onto the stage and sit on his couch. And I could feel my whole body moving internally in reaction to his being there. And then he would sit down and I felt this arriving energy. Hard to describe it in normal terms, but it was something about to open. It's sort of like a flower just as the sun comes up and it's about to open, whatever that is. And then he would open his eyes and it would arrive, just like the sunlight. It just happened. And I would sit there and transitional space, if you want to call it that, suddenly became other. It became awakened. It became full. And Rudy would look out into this room full of plants, if you will, and he would just bask, if you will. He would, basking would probably be the wrong word. We would bask. He would radiate. He would express this extraordinary luminosity, this kind of love, clarity, simplicity, dynamic power, all of this stuff. And it was just coming out of him sitting there with his eyes open. Presence had become immediate. The mind was lost in it. The mind, as some people have described, was like a light bulb in the presence of the sun. It didn't mean anything. Your mind didn't function. It's just like, it just sat there looking at this light. And this light was coming at you not just visually through your eyes, although it did that, but through everything. There was like an electricity in the room. There was like the ohm sound just vibrating. And there was a sense of being in you that felt so joyous to be there. And also lucky to be there. And all we did is sat. And sat quietly. A lot of us tried to drink in the energy, which felt like a necessary effort for those of us who were, if you will, still caught in the outside vibration of the day. You know, the energy could, you know, fall on a rock. It doesn't do much to a rock, but when it falls onto a plant, the plant has a response. If you arrived in that space like a rock, and you knew you were a rock, you had this extraordinary awareness, because Rudy taught us that, that you were not truly a rock, you were a biological form that could respond to this energy. And so you would switch gears by taking this breath. You take it deep into yourself and you would ask for this help to surrender, meaning to let go of your deadness, to let go of being an inorganic thing, to let go of being a mind event that's just still caught up in the day and the outside. You'd ask to let go of all that, and your organic nature would start to reveal itself again, and you would just feel this sense of awakening to this energy. And then you just sat still, and nothing in the world could be better. No movie was better, no concert that you could go to was better, no play, no opera, no lovemaking was better than this whole body, full, real presence. And you would sit there for about half an hour, and sometimes you would sit there and you would do battle. Sometimes you would sit there and you would feel the taste of this energy, and then your mind would come into it and go, what's going on? Or you'd forget that you were there. You'd start to dream about something, think about something else, and then you'd start to feel the tension of your body, and then you'd start to go worry about things that you had to do, and you go, why am I doing that in the middle of all this? Why am I doing that? And there would be this dialogue, which would often turn into a battle, a real fight between you and your mind. And then you would remember to take a breath, and for about 40 seconds or 2 minutes you would feel back in this place of paradise, and then you would lose it again. Sometimes you had a class where you never lost it at all, and you'd go, why can't I do that every time? And you'd wonder, in fact, even wondering it in the class, and that caused problems. But mostly you got these moments of what I can call presence, but I think there's another word for it, which is a word that I love, which is grace. You experienced grace. In the midst of your day-to-day worldly life, something entered into it that transformed it into something exactly as it was, but other than it was. It's like when you see, as a kid, the girl on the block suddenly become beautiful. You played with her your whole life, and suddenly you look at her and you go, you don't even know how it happened. Suddenly beauty arises. Or you're watching somebody on the screen or in a play and they're on the stage and you're not even liking them very much, and suddenly they're becoming so sweet to you, and you start to find them to be really someone you care about deeply. It's that feeling. It's like the day suddenly gives you more, and the very event that was so crystallized and locked in and defined suddenly becomes undefined and uncrystallized and full of possibility, full of beauty. A beauty you didn't even know was there just gets unlocked, and that's grace, this extraordinary thing that enters into our life. Rudy used to talk about something which I always find fascinating. He talked about the horizontal level of our life and the vertical. The horizontal level is day-to-day existence. And that has a certain series of striations. You can have a very brute level day-to-day existence, and you can have experiences that raise you up from that into a kind of very refined existence. a kind of artful, sensitive, compassionate existence in the world, but it has limitations. It really goes from very dense into somewhat rarefied, but it's all the world. And we live our day-to-day life in that horizontal plane. Most people never really imagine themselves out of that plane. They have belief systems that tell them that they can exist beyond it, that someday they will escape the horizontal, and they live with faith and hope, and that's a wonderful thing. But for others, something happens, and that is you are intersected by the vertical, which is grace. Suddenly, something greater, of a higher dimension, if you will, something outside of the horizontal limitation of the human experience, enters into that realm, and you are touched by it. And when you are touched by it, it changes your life, because you suddenly know there is more. It's not just faith. It's not just belief. It's not just hope at the end of your life that you will find it. You are touching it in that moment. And then it goes away. And then part of you tries to remember that you had it. Part of you says, did I really have it? Did that really happen? Some of you gets very frustrated. Another part of you wants it back. People who want it back start to change the horizontal level of their life to spend more time in that looking for grace. But you can't exactly get grace. Grace arrives. But you can make yourself available to its arrival. And you make yourself available to its arrival mostly by something rather absurd. By sitting still. Period. You sit still. And you open, or you ask for it to come. It's a kind of unusual act, because there's not much more you can do than that. And you have to stop your day-to-day activity, which is so involving and seems so important, to make room for that. But if you do that, this grace is drawn to you, and it arrives, and you feel it. Some people do it through prayer, some people through meditation, some people through artistic endeavor. But this thing arrives and it touches you. And you know it's touched you, because something in you has this undeniable and complete clarity that it's there. Occasionally, there are people in the world who have so received grace, or who are so conductive of grace, that you can actually sit in their presence and receive grace as an act of going somewhere on the material plane in order to receive it. Some people go to churches that are particularly full of grace. Some people go to teachers, priests, rabbis, or yogis. And you go and you sit in the presence of that person, and you sit in a state of quiet. So that the grace is not simply coming through the atmosphere, it is coming very reliably through the teacher to you. And that grace is what I experienced every time I walked into Rudy's home. Every time I was there, it was like a packaged grace. It was totally, predictably available. And I could go there, and I could get it, and I could have it. And it would be, for my 1 hour of sitting, totally available. The great thing about that is that it makes you conscious of what grace feels like, tastes like, and what it's like in a sustained package, if you will. A full hour of it on a regular basis. And then, to my shock and amazement, my source of grace died. Not there. Going to Rudy's house was empty of that presence. It wasn't really empty of that presence, but my habituated sense of it coming through Rudy limited it for me. And I realized that I needed to get more of that grace. I needed to find it. And so I started to find other teachers who would therefore replace Rudy and continue to give that to me. And those teachers were interesting, the various teachers I went to, because they all had elements of that to give. Some more purely than others. Some had it in ways that were very, very surrendered. Some had it in ways that they owned and sold, if you will. It was kind of a grace, but it didn't continue to work for me quite so much. And something in me started to realize that if you truly want that grace, you have to be the conduit. That you can't rely on somebody else being it for you. Somebody can give it to you or bring you into a room and fill the room with it, but you still walk out of that room and you still have a life. And if you want that grace to fill the life outside that room, you have to find your way there. And each one of us is totally responsible for that. The grace that comes through the teacher is a wonderful thing. It's a great gift. We're all lucky to taste it and have some reliable, available place to go to get it. But ultimately, we have to open to that every day. Or let me put it this way. You don't have to do anything. But if you want it, you have to open to it. You have to sit. You have to ask. Or you just have to come to the point, and this is the most profound awakening, I think, for people, and the realization is that you are never out of grace. Ever. That's a very subtle and very remarkable awareness. So many of us feel that we're so lost in our day that we don't have time to sit, we don't have time to remember, we don't have time to touch this grace or to be touched by it. But the really awakened mind realizes, how could you ever be anywhere but in a state of grace? And that clarity allows you to go through your day, even the unconscious parts, even the parts that are just demanding that your complete focus and attention, and you do it knowing in some deep and profound way that even this too is the grace of existence. Even the difficult parts of your life, even the painful parts of your life, even the parts of your life that feel the most dead and the most uncomfortable are part of this experience of divine grace. Your life is grace. The mere fact of your existence is grace. That's what we're here slowly to uncover. And how we uncover it and how we experience it is a dance of growing and lessening and evolving awareness. It plays, it comes and it goes, it breathes. It has thunderstorms and it has sunny days. It has beautiful moments and it has cold, freezing moments. It is all part of something very, very large that is completely inexplicable, and yet you know it's there. And what happens when you start to be the conduit for that grace is that any time you sit and get quiet, you're aware that it's there. You just sit. I know when I walk in this room to teach class, which is always a kind of heightened version of grace, I sit down, having just walked in from, I had a cup of coffee, I talked, Marty and I were talking, I come up the stairs, I go to the bathroom, I wash my hands, I open to the universe, I walk into the room, I sit down, and this room is aglow. There is a kind of dynamic energy that is pulsating through it. It almost hurts because it's bigger and stronger than my physical body can take. It's just alive. It's full of love and joy and vastness and power. It's got all of this stuff. And I just sit there and I go, huh. It's like I just walked into Rudy's house from the streets of New York. And all I did is walked into me. I walked through the looking glass into myself. I walked into being. I didn't even walk into it because, in fact, it was there. I just sat down and opened to it, and it arrived, and then it doesn't even arrive because where does it come from? It just is. It just is. And you sit down, and what you do is you look at everybody in the room, and everybody in the room is also there. They're already there. They've never not been there. They may still be a little bit sluggish, you know, and remembering that they're there, or they're a little, you know, still on the drive here or whatever that is, but you just look at them, and then this shared grace materializes. Two people become one. In these brief milliseconds of existence, there's no two. And then it becomes two, and then it becomes one and two and one and two and two and one and one, and then it sustains for a while. And but what's happening is, if you're anywhere near where what I experience, you sit there and you feel lucky. You just feel so lucky to be doing nothing with somebody, to just being with somebody. You just feel so blessed, so graced by this experience of oneness with another human being. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, and it is worth driving an hour or two or three, as Arkady and Yelena do almost every week. It's worth whatever effort you have to put out to get. Of course, the realization is that you don't really have to put out any effort on some level. You can just sit down and open to it. Although a lot of people try that. A lot of people sit down and just say, okay, grace, come, and nothing comes. Your mind comes, your fears come, your all your disturbances come, and that's like, oh God, you know, it's the last thing you want. And in a funny way, all that stuff is grace as well. You sit down and your neuroses arrive, and that's grace too, but you don't know it's grace because nothing in you teaches you that. But if you make the journey to a place where you know it will actually happen, and you start to feel the effort that goes into it, the universe responds to that effort. It doesn't respond to a very casual, okay, I'm going to meditate now, because what that does, in my old days when I used to sit to meditate early on, I'd be there for a moment, and then 2 seconds, my head would be falling over, and there wasn't meditation. I would just be sleeping. That's not meditation, and it's not opening to grace. It's not doing anything but going to sleep. Grace is an awakening, not a sleeping. And what happens is, when you find the teacher, and the teacher starts to bring you an additional energy, an additional vibration, if you will, that alerts you to what this is, and your body memorizes it, it learns it, it feels it, it knows it has earned it in a certain sense because it has made the effort to be awakened to it, then it becomes yours. And then it's yours no matter where you go, no matter what you do, it is yours. But if you ever need additional reminding, the teachers are there for you. There always is somebody there for you, and you can go and you can get it when you need it. It's such a simple thing. It's so easy, and it's so sweet, and it's so beautiful. And it's, in a sense, almost like magic, because this becomes that before your eyes. This space becomes that space. And then you get to bask in that space, you get to grow in that space, you get to unfold, you get to experience the freedom and the joy and the bliss of your own existence. That's really what we're doing. So when the vertical enters the horizontal, be conscious of it, be aware of it, be grateful for it. Know that your whole life is part of a vast vertical. It always has been. It couldn't exist otherwise. That the depth of your being and the height of your being are the same thing. That you're reaching into the vastness of this extraordinary infinite reality. And that the mere fact that this horizontal exists at all is the great mystery and the great gift and the great act of grace of being. That's all I'll say. Any questions about grace? Okay, thank you.